Good morning, sir, and you are Mr.?
Mr. Vollmer, Your Honors.
Okay.
May it please the Court, Tyler Vollmer, Sam Romero & Associates. I'm appearing for Mr. Romero, who unfortunately could not be here today. I'm here on behalf of the plaintiff and appellant, Vicki Stamm. This case is a case of adverse possession. It comes to this court from the Court of Appeals. Prior to that, it was in the District Court of Buffalo County. The basic factual background of this case is that neighbors, there was a fence, and there's differing accounts on the nature of the fence and the extent of the fence, but the overall result is the fence ended up at trial being treated as a boundary. And obviously, on petition for further review to this court, our position was that the LE, the Fishers, were limited in their scope to evidence between 1997 and 2007. This is primarily because the trial court and the Court of Appeals affirmed this, that was the 10-year period where there was undisputed and credible evidence that the Fishers had taken adverse possession of all the elements of their claimed land. I think the issue, at least most apparent to me, was that testimony at trial in that case, and which was pointed out to this court, was that as early as 2005, there is very credible evidence and an admission from the Fishers that Ms. Stamm was using land that they were claiming adversely.
Do you think that admission is the strongest evidence of use of that field drive during that time period?
I honestly think it is. I cannot think of anything half short of video evidence that would be more credible and more solid than an admission of the defendant that's against their own interests. This is not an admission that would be taken lightly. This is something that, if it's true, and if the trial court had found it to be true, should have completely defeated the claim for adverse possession. It clearly falls within the 10-year statutory window that the Fishers would have had to have continuous and exclusive possession of this land. Being only 8 years in, and Ms. Stamm now using her land to the field drive is completely detrimental to their claim of the adverse possession for that 10 years.
Given that she put the map up on the photo up on the display, could you point out the area that you're talking about?
I can, yes. The area that we're talking about is, in totality, is 8/10 of an acre. There is a county road down here on the south end, and then there was, at one point, you can see a small driveway, and there's a, reportedly, there was a fence that ran majority of the way up this little road. Stamm's property by deed extended to the east, the right of that fence. At the south end, it was about 15 feet. At the north end, it was about 45 feet. Now, the argument that the Fishers made is that because of the fact that they farmed up to the fence at some points, they claim, and then there was a well that was drilled into the land in the mid-70s. At that point, the land was irrigated, and so they had what they called a turn row, or what they then used as a field drive.
What does the record show as to the Stamm's use of the field drive? Was it isolated, frequent, all the time?
The Stamm had testified that she had regularly used the field drive to access her property. Some of the exhibits at trial showed that the field drive came up, and at the north end it turned both east and west, so that both parties could access the northern portion of the land.
Are you talking about the aerial photos?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
And so I think the issue becomes the claim that the Fishers were making to this land was because they had farmed it. Obviously, they were not farming the field drive. The field drive was being used by both parties. And I think that obviously completely defeats exclusivity of that particular piece of land.
Counsel, I'm sorry to interrupt. When you refer to a field drive, you're talking about the portion on the west side of what we've been calling that north-south fence. Is that
up
a little higher? There. You were talking about the fact that it turned when you got to the northernmost portion of that. On the left side, or on the west side, are those just turn rows, or is that actually a field drive extension?
When you get to the north end of here's the north end up here, and it turns left and it turns right. It was just a field drive extension going each way. The fishers used the right side, the east side, to access their well, and Ms. Stamm used the left side or the west side to access the northern portions of her property. I think the issue becomes then, with the understanding that we're limited to between 97 and 2007, partially because the trial court found that that was the period, and partially because the fishers never on cross appeal raises an issue to the Court of Appeals that they should have been awarded the land at any other point in time. Obviously, the trial record is a span of, depending on which lifelong resident of Amherst you have evidence from, this fence was either built during World War II or sometime in the mid-60s. Trial court narrowed it down to that 10-year period in the late 90s, early 2000s. That was never an issue on appeal. That's the time period that we're stuck with outside of plain error.
What do people typically build a fence for?
Well, my understanding of fences, they can be for a couple of different reasons. The statutory one would be a boundary. The other one would be as a fence of convenience. In this case, it was built to hold cattle. The testimony that was brought forth by plaintiff, Ms. Stamm, and her witnesses was that her predecessor's interest, her aunt and uncle, Ruby Faye and Grover Stubbs, had built the fence to contain cattle. They built it out of scrap materials that they had laying around. It was an abject failure at that, and so that they abandoned it. They then went to the practice of erecting an electric fence to the east of that to contain their cattle. That was the use for this fence. As I said, it was not very good at that. There's conflicting testimony as to the quality of the fence. There's conflicting testimony as to whether or not it was attached to a tree at some point on the northern end. I think the consensus testimony is that the fence didn't necessarily extend all the way to the southern boundary fence on the south side.
Well, does the record show that even though they built the fence to contain cattle, they also did build it on the property line?
It was not built on the property line. The fence was placed in the position that it was it was placed there due to the topography of the terrain. The land immediately to the west of the fence was a low-lying, muddy area. There was nothing saying that the Stubbs could not have placed the fence farther to the east and been on the property line. If they had done so, it would have run at a northeasterly angle. Obviously, as I said, the Stamm property is 15 feet at the south end, but it's 40 feet at the north end. So the fence did not even follow the contour of the property line when they put it up. So it was not put up as a boundary fence by any means.
I'm a little puzzled about your argument that the trial court's determination of a specific time period somehow binds the appellate courts. Isn't this review de novo on the record as an equitable case?
It would be, yes. But the issue of whether or not the fishers had ever been awarded the property adversely at any period in time prior to 1997 was never an issue on appeal. I think unless this court can note it as plain record, obviously only issues where errors assigned in the brief or argued in the briefs can be considered.
All right,
that's the basis of my position, that outside of plain error, we're stuck with that time frame.
Thank you.
The other main issue that I have is the Court of Appeals, in their opinion, awarded Fishers a portion of land up here that is wooded to the north of this fence. The issue becomes Fisher's thrust for their claim was that they had used the arable land in the field drive for its naturally intended purposes. There was no evidence offered whatsoever that they had ever used this wooded area, especially not for any farming-type purposes. Yet the Court of Appeals, in their opinion, noted that they had included it in their survey, and they had included that land in their counterclaim, so they get it. They weren't forced to offer any evidence whatsoever that they were entitled to that land through adverse possession. And I think at the very minimum, that is wrong. And the final point that I had set out to make is that because of the fact that Ms. Stamm used her property during this 10-year period and that it was not exclusive, the Fisher's claim, their adverse claim, is not specifically defined. The area that they're trying to claim adversely includes property that Ms. Stamm was still using. It's my opinion that had they just followed the crop lines, as they could certainly do under Weiss, and not included the field drive, they probably could adversely possess this land. But since they claimed more, and since Ms. Stamm used that land, I think their entire claim fails.
Does it have to be in its entirety on this record?
I believe because of Hetch v. Whitaker that it does. There is some discussion in that case that I will of course cite. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is it Mr. Bikey? Good morning to you.
May I start by making reference to the diagram here? Just to be clear, this property over here is a Stamm property. This is a city property. This line you see here is the line you're claiming. The actual boundary line would be kind of like this. About 14 feet, as Mr. Wolfert said, down here, and I'm exaggerating a little bit. Up here, it's about 40 feet. The important point to note, and the reason we're here, this is less than 8. The Fishers have, in 1975, installed a well right there. It's in the contested property. So it has been used since 1975 to irrigate their property here, and also to irrigate their property in the north. That's the real reason we're here.
So if I've got it straight,
I'm sorry.
The photo that we're looking at there, the fence line was considerably west of where the field drive is right now in that photo?
No, the north-south fence is right along that line.
Okay.
Right along what they're calling the field drive. Now, the field drive was not there until the well was installed in 1975. Our evidence is the fence was in there a lot longer than that. And my clients, the Fishers, actually, their crop rows went north-south prior to 1975, so they didn't need to. However, after they began irrigating, crop rows were changed to east-west, and then they utilized the field.
So are you advocating that there's a 10-year period other than that relied upon by the district court?
Yes.
And what is that 10-year
period? That 10-year period begins as far back as 1940. Our evidence indicates that fence was there. Now, given that, let me speak to the 1997. There was a question about an admission of my client, okay? The actual testimony in this case by Mr. Fisher, this was on cross-examination, and I'm talking about the use of that field road after 1997. On page 217 of the transcript, Brian Fisher testified that Mrs. Stamm made no use of that field drive before 2012. He again, on page 232 of the transcript, testified on cross-examination. Stamm made no use of that field drive until after the lawsuit was filed. Now, and I think you'll have a difficult time finding in the transcript anything specific by the Stamms as to when they used that field drive. There just is no specific testimony. Now, the so-called admission against on Mr. Fisher's part.
But Mr. Bikey, before you go on to that, did the district court make a specific finding regarding credibility or the particular fact that you're talking about?
The district court, in its opinion, started out by saying the credible evidence reveals. So in that regard, I suppose, they did say what they considered, district court considered to be the credible evidence. All right, now let me go back to the submission. It's on page 643 of the transcript, and I think it's relied on out of context. First of all, if you look at what I was asking my client, there was a period, the fence along the north-south line was taken down in approximately 2005 to 2007. I asked the client about whether it made sense before that date that anyone would drive east west across their field drive. And his response was, it made no sense because the fence went all the way there. And you couldn't drive across. Then I asked him, does that mean, I said, but you're not denying that Ms. Stam used that road since 2012. And he said, no, I'm not denying that.
Was the first question addressed to a time frame, when crops were north-south?
Yes. Right. Well, no. That was before 75. This was when crops were east-west.
I think.
Okay. There was a field drive there, but there was also a fence right here all the way. And you couldn't drive in the other crop. Okay. So what I'm saying here is my question is similar to asking, have you been to Europe since 2005? Well, if you answer yes, that doesn't mean you went to Europe in 2005. It means maybe you went to Europe in 2012, maybe 2011. It doesn't mean, and he didn't intend it to mean, and you can tell from my questioning, that he admitted that in 2005 and after, that Stams used that road. This is the only thing that they can rely on for anything after 2000 or before 2007. And it's just simply not an admission. You look closely at what the questions were. There was a question about the aerial photos that indicated somehow that there was movement across that line before. It's our testimony that there was a fence there before 2005 to 2007, that you couldn't have driven across there. Their expert looked at the aerial photographs back in 1993, 2003, and his opinion was it looked like there was movement across that way. Well, again, if you look at his testimony, he testifies, first of all, that there was a field drive on the others on the west side as well as the east side. He doesn't say how that came about. Also, he doesn't say, and there is no testimony as to who, if anybody, drove across. In other words, this testimony of their expert does not establish use of that property, use of that contested area during that time period. Let me say something about the legal description of the property. I'm advocating my brief. What we're looking at is a line here. Your case last year, the Shellhorn case last year, is authority for the fact that you don't have to occupy the entire area. You can deal with a line. Nobody's ever questioned the fact we're dealing with a line here. Now, let me assume that you disagree with that. We still have a legal description that can be gained from the evidence. Down in the South, the trial court did that. I don't think they probably did because of the line, but they did that. Up in the North, you can also do that. If the argument is that we only occupied up to 60 feet from the north boundary, plaintiff's testimony was that fence line ran directly east. So if that were the holding, all you'd have to do is stop at 60 feet from the top. I'm certainly not advocating that. What I'm saying is there's sufficient evidence, if you have to calculate or describe the legal boundary accurately.
Based on the record.
Based on the record, yes. Anything else?
Thank you very much. Is there any time for rebuttal? There is no time for rebuttal. We will go to the next case of the day, which is State versus Rodrigo A. Ortega. Mr. Lancaster, good morning to you.